These are difficult times, aren't they? And we call on the name of the Lord repeatedly. Years ago, there was a missionary family that was part of this church when we came, the Cologne family, and they had a number of children, and one of their children, Joel, and his wife, Irina, she's from Ukraine, and they are ministering with OC International in Ukraine, and so we're following with deep concern for them, as I believe that they've had to move from their home, and I know that Dr. Ortner and Terry keep track of them as well, so. I'm going to read from, would you turn in your Bibles just to the Psalms, Psalm 133. Excuse me, 127. Get my location correct. Psalm 127. I'm going to read from the New International. I was led in a time of worship this morning, even with reading this, listening to someone else speak in a recorded message. Psalm 127, a song of ascents, a song of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Father, once again, we pray for those who are contending in many ways right now, as Dean prayed, for those in Ukraine, for Joel and Irina. I thank you, Lord, for their ministry, for the joy they take in serving you. And I pray, along with many others, they would continue to just turn to you and take great joy in the nearness of their God. We pray this now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it's... this expression, I've heard people say this many times. I'm just a baby Christian. People that may have been Christians for a long, long time. I'm just a baby Christian. I wonder, have you ever said something like that or thought something like that? I'm just a baby Christian. You know, who am I? I'm just a baby. Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing? What do you think God thinks of that expression? I'm just a baby Christian. Turn with me in your Bibles now. We're gonna be looking at a serious portion of Scripture, and it's got a little bit of Paul's twinkle in the eye, as well as his deep concern. A very serious look as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, again from the New International Version. Paul writes this, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Mere infants, or as many translations will say, as babies in Christ." How long have they been Christians? Well, they had been Christians probably by the time Paul wrote this, probably pushing 5 years. And so I don't think this is a compliment to say, congratulations, you're babies. I couldn't address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk and not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? First thing we need to stop and just think about for a few minutes, and that is that the flesh just doesn't cut it. We are those of us who are in Christ, people have come to Christ. God calls you a new creation. To say you're walking in the word that he uses this word worldly. Another word for that is you're carnal. You know, we all like carne asada, right? We all like flesh. Well, not the vegans here don't especially like flesh, but apart from their own. But you know, when Paul says you're just acting out in the flesh, it's like all you've got as this believer in Christ is your own strength. So that when you're suffering some pain, about all you've got is, well, suck it up. Stop complaining. Just dig deep. Give it all you've got. You can do it. It's all in your head. No, it's in my hip. I mean, come on, suck it up. That's the flesh. But it's also the flesh when you have a problem with somebody. And you say, I've got this. This person's a pain. And I'm going to show them by my body language I'm not interested in them. I'm going to shake my head a lot. I'm going to disagree with them. I'm going to try to engage them in debate. And it's up to me. I can put them down. I can put them in their place. Or I can operate in the flesh right now and I can try to be real political and see if I need some other people to join me. I need to borrow some of their power. And we'll work together at putting this person or these people in their place. That's operating in the flesh. I can do it. See my arms? I got it. And Paul says when you're acting in the flesh, quite frankly, I can't give you flesh to eat from God's word. Why? Because it just won't make sense to you. Now, Paul, as he goes through this text, he's going to say, you've got the Spirit of God living in you. You came to Christ. I know that the Holy Spirit is resident in you. And when you read God's word, when you listen to a sermon, when you come to church and look for some inspiration, but you're still operating in your own strength, the living God's judgment of that is you can't really handle this divinely inspired word. It just doesn't make sense to you. And you surely don't know what to do with it. And just like food, Paul said, I've got to give you milk. I've got to give you this stuff that's already been filtered. It's already been just kind of watered down because your system just can't process the truth. Well, it's being a baby just doesn't cut it. You're not going to grow. So, and you know, this is, Paul uses this illustration. He said, what's behind what I'm saying? He said, well, you guys are still, you're still proud, and you're proud to the extent that you're saying, well, I follow Paul. And another one says, I follow the teacher that came after him, Apollos. You know, Apollos, I mean, he really fed my soul. Paul, he was just a church planter. He was just he got the ball rolling, but who's Paul? You know, listen, he just doesn't feed me. Or the stuff he says and the stuff he writes makes me mad. I like the way Apollos delivers it. This is all in the flesh. If you're going to operate in the flesh, if you can do it, if you can pride your way through all of this, God says, well, you're on your own. About all you can handle is just the simplest of truth. Don't expect to be challenged. Don't expect to be encouraged. Don't expect for God to take care of you, because you've got it, right? You've got it. And it shows, it's showing in this relationship in this church. And Paul's really serious about this, because this is the church that he was with for about 18 months. And he got them very grounded in truth. You just know that as he was weaving the gospel into their daily lives, he was making a connection between the Old Testament scriptures that pointed toward Christ, that pointed toward him, the sufficiency of Christ as the only Savior, as the only Lord, as the God of creation. He just keeps pointing to him for who he is. And they were off to a good start. And he sailed across to Ephesus and received a wonderful reception there. And he loved that church. And he stayed there for 3 years, during which time he hears, these people are operating in this fleshly way. They're bragging about the people that they now follow and putting down the other teachers. That church that had a healthy start is now flailing. It is failing. So Paul writes, I wanted this letter to be full of encouragement. But you're not ready to go deeper with Christ. You know, you hear us use this expression. We talk about deep people. Deep people are people who organize their lives around Christ, what they know to be true, so that when they're dealing with pain in relationships or in their bodies, when they're dealing with struggles with the things that they hear that's going on, they humbly, they see the connection between what's going on in life, and by faith they turn to the Lord and say, help. And they do this. They wait upon the Lord. Dean read that scripture this morning from Isaiah chapter 40. You know, that was driven home to me in a fresh chapter of my life yesterday when I came up to the prayer group that meets. I didn't realize that they'd met on Friday night, so there were only three or four of us that met for prayer, as it was. But one of them, one of my one of the inspiring men from the Spanish-speaking congregation, Porfirio, or as everybody calls him, Porfi. Porfi was sitting there, and he's, you know, he's had a lot of things to contend with. He's been talking to us over a long period of time about his wife that is racked with a pain, a nerve pain, especially in her arms. And this has been a long haul. He was also sharing with us the journey that he's had with trying to help some young people in our ministry that lost their mom. And he's kind of one of the frontline workers. And he said to us yesterday morning, we talked a lot about what does it mean to wait on the Lord, to wait on him, to rest in him. It means that we do just that. And this dear man of God, who clearly organizes his life around Christ, was ready for another discussion about what it means to wait on the Lord. And in our tiny little group, we talked about that. Another chapter in our journey, organizing our lives, all of us, around Christ. So the flesh doesn't cut it. Verses 5 through 15, they take us deeper. We're going to read this, verses 5 through 15, the whole section. Just listen as I read from the New International Version. After all, what is Apollos? Now, he just said, you're teamed up. No. After all, what is Apollos and what is Paul? They're only servants through whom you came to believe. And their servants as the Lord has assigned each to his task. They are only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each one of us his task to help you in your walk with God. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. God did. So neither he who plants or he who waters is really anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. Some translations would say, and it really is even more accurate to say, the man who plants and the man who waters are one. In other words, one large interwoven purpose. And each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. By the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation. As an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. But Paul talks about an assignment, assignments given to each one. He talks about this. I look around at this group of people, and I say, you know, I know that. I know most of your stories to some extent. I know you've come to Christ. There was somebody that God used in your life to lay the foundation, which he says is Jesus Christ, period. That's the foundation. So all of our stories, what a tremendous thing it is when people share their story as to, or when they ask someone else to share their story. How was it that you came to Christ? Well, this is how this is the foundation. I know the foundation was Christ, but this is when it's like I first realized I needed to know this Christ personally and put my trust in Him, for my eternal destiny. Somebody was just telling me yesterday, again, as part of this conversation, somebody, in fact, it got to the point, I think it was Porphy talking about, somebody said to him, this was great. This was really great. He said, you know, I was back in 19, probably, it was probably 81, I think. He said, somebody said to me, so, what do you think? Are you going to go to heaven or hell? Where do you think you're going to go when you die? And Porphy, this dear man said, he was stunned by that question. Where are you going to go? He's like, this is the real deal. He said, well, I think I'd go to hell. And the guy said, and would you like to go to heaven? And he said, it was that day that I invited Jesus into my life to be my Savior, my Lord. It's literally as simple as that. And one of the guys at the table with us said, that's a good question. That's a really good question. As a matter of fact, I've got this friend that's I know doesn't know the Lord. And sometimes there's a little barbs going back and forth between the two of us, but I work with this guy all the time. I think that'd be a good question for me to ask my friend. You going to go to heaven or hell? Just no frills, a no frills question. No frills. Well, there was a day when it happened to me, and there was a day probably when it happened to you, and you realized today's the day. I need to put my trust in Christ. Well, Paul had such an assignment to be that person that went fearlessly into synagogues where he might find a contest, and fearlessly out onto the streets, and fearlessly to places of power, where many times he received beatings, not just with words, but beatings physically. And Paul laid this foundation. But then he just, from that point on, he says, and there is no other foundation. Can't say the foundation would be personal resolve. I promise to do God to do better. Not a good foundation. Not going to work. I'm going to start all over. We were in a Bible study once with neighbors across the street, and we were going through the Gospel of John, and we were in John chapter 3, and we read Jesus saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again. I said, does that make sense to you? And Larry said, no. So we talked about being born again, and I think I led him down a really crazy, you know, I tried to ease into what it was to be born again. I said, John Denver had this song, you know, Colorado Rocky Mountain High. He said, there are the mountains. He said, I drove into the mountains. You might say I'd been born again. I said, well, it was like a new beginning. I'm trying to bridge into your relationship with Christ is like a new beginning now in the Spirit. I don't think he heard beyond that. Later on, his wife heard the message, but this is the one and only foundation. There is no other start. But Paul then, he quickly segues to, and then Apollos and others, others kept on, keep on building on that foundation. They build on that foundation by their sensitivities and by their walk, clearly by their walk with God, clearly by living in the power of the Holy Spirit and following, listening to the Holy Spirit and following through. They, some of those people that are in your life build upon that spirit, build upon that foundation by asking questions in a Bible study. People that turn you toward trusting Christ for this next chapter in your life, all based upon God's word. And person by person, using their abilities and using the spiritual gift that, and gifts that God gives them to help to build upon that foundation in your life and mine. And it goes on and on. People that weren't necessarily expecting, they didn't have some title to build on my foundation. They were just there. And their walk with God and their listening to the Spirit and the Word of God, which was implanted in them, became something that was one more brick to build upon my life. Paul said, Who were we? Well, we were only servants of God. Do you see yourself as a servant of God? Do you see yourself as a servant of God on assignment? Do you think that's for real, or was Paul just talking about Apollos and Cephas? And Paul? And are we talking just about the big timers? You know, Franklin Graham was on assignment, I guess, when he said today is the day he's calling for churches all across the country to pray for the people in Ukraine. He's on assignment, right? Are you? You see, if we understand God's, I asked this question about, we read this text from Psalm 127. You know, the psalmist, Solomon, when he talks about, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build. But in so even talking about unless the Lord builds the house, he's talking about the people who are following the Lord and who are builders. And he's saying, but it's not going to work unless the people building on that foundation are surrendered to him and letting him empower them, remind them, take the word of God that has been implanted in their brain and press down into their hearts so that in the moment when God wants us to be there for somebody else, it's now at that moment that he empowers that event, and he's the one that makes that does the growing, does the life change. I think of people who, all sorts of people that are on assignment for the Lord. Let me give you just a couple kind of examples. I'm not going to put names with these, but I was thinking about somebody in our ministry who's really, I think one of the gifts that God has given this person is the gift of asking the question. Let me be even more precise. This person has a gift for recruiting. It's a gift. I don't have it. I'm not the consummate recruiter. This person has the gift of recruiting. Has no problem asking somebody, would you come help? It's really good. I mean, you know, some people, they'll say to us all, well, just ask for help and I'll come and help. Sure, just ask. I'm there. I'll help. This person has the gift of being able to ask for help. And God uses it for his glory to build into the lives of many other people because other people with other gifts came to help. It sounds like magic. I think, does this person know what all these people's gifts are? I don't think so. Somehow or other, that person asks, invites, and recruits, and it happens. Other people have the gift. Some other people here have the gift of organization, and they bring organization to events. They bring to just happenings, and it's a gift that I don't have. And you know, all of these people inside the body of Christ that have these gifts, understand why would I dare say that we're all on assignment? Because God has assigned things to you and to me to have a difference that will matter for somebody else's eternity. It really does. Do you believe that? Are you on assignment? If you're a follower of Christ, I believe you are. Take that assignment seriously. He talks about some who are planters, some who are waterers. Can I add a few more? I'm not creating scripture right now, but I think that there are weeders, people who we've got a guy here who's a weeder. He works at the Azusa Pacific. He's from El Cavario and wonderful man, wonderful family. And I saw him. I pulled up here and he was weeding. He had this hand tool, and he's just going down. I just learned something about weeding, but he's just, you know, he just hit those weeds. Just boom, that was it. I said, are you going to go back and pull those? No, it's all it takes. They'll just die and kind of go with the wind. And so that was, that's earthly. Is that his spiritual gift? No, but there are weeders who get under my skin, who help turn over the dirt and loosen the weeds and help me face some issues that I need to face. And God uses those people building upon the foundation that is Christ in me. And it happens all the time with certain people. It might be just a question. Weeders, feeders, I'm not promoting the brand. Designers, you know, there's all sorts of people in this process. But bottom line, as Paul says, no matter what the work is that's going on and who's has the assignment, it's God who causes the growth. Turning points in my life many times, and I'm sure in yours, when there was somebody there that when you were really down and discouraged, God used that person to build another chapter in your life. Verse 10 and 11. For by the grace that God has given me, I laid the foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. The whole message is kind of pivots on this one. But each one should be careful how he builds. If you truly believe that you're on an assignment, God has given you an assignment in life, and this is touching many other lives as you pay attention to him. If you're on assignment for him, he's saying you need to be very careful how you build. So what does it mean to be careful? How do you do that? Well, it's going to come down to understanding that moments are not accidental. I don't have accidental moments. I know probably none of us like it when somebody says, well, I just stopped in at your house or at your office, or they stop you when you're trying to get a project done in your garage or something like that. And somebody comes over and they just start talking, well, I just had some time. I just wanted to kill some time. You're going to kill time on me? You're going to take this away from, but quite frankly, there are no accidental moments. A friend said one day, he said, I realized recently by some of the stuff that you've said, it seems like every time I open my garage door, he said, my neighbor comes over and wants to talk. I wonder, do you think that could be, you know, God could have something for that moment? Not every moment's going to mean the guy's going to fall down on his knees and ask Christ into his life. But God has, all these moments are important. When Paul says, take care as to how you build, he's saying things like, be careful how the words you say. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my mind and my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I take care as to how I build, how I live out my assignment. In the words of King David, when he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my every anxious thought, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the stuff, the life that lasts. When you consider, and I consider, that this is not my life, it's his. My time, my energy, my resources, my imagination, my relationships. You might have a gift of, it's an amazing gift, a gift of hospitality. People that have the gift of hospitality use it in church, in their homes, they use it out on the patio, they use it out at a ball field, they use it at a gas station, because they kind of make people feel that they're glad to be where they are. They're glad to be present in the presence of maybe somebody who's just got a vibrant relationship with the Lord that they want to share. In the midst of all of this, Paul says, take care. For each one, be careful as to how you build. And then he goes on and he talks about building, the materials that we use. He uses two categories, things that last and things that don't last. What lasts? Well, if you're going to build, make sure you're building deeply with the Word of God. I asked the question early on, you know, do you ever kind of hide behind this notion, well, I'm just a baby Christian? Well, get beyond that. You've got time every day to feed on God's Word. And every time you feed on God's Word, every time, even if you're reading in the book of Numbers, that's where I am right now. I mean, is there anything here, Lord, that you want me to pay attention to? Yes. There are certain words that just pop. But it will only happen if I go something other than, okay, I just got to get through this. Let's go. No, don't just do it as a routine. Every time you read God's word, we need to say, every time, Lord, show me what you want me to see. Let me hear what I need to hear. You know, I've been using the Bible app. I turn it on to do some other reading, but then there's a face that will show up, a face of somebody I've never seen before. And well, they're going to read the verse and they're going to talk for about 2 minutes. And I've had to say, okay, Lord, well, this is, whoever this is, they're probably coming from a completely different perspective than me. Would you just show me, Lord? Listen and interact. Take care. And God says, when you build with the right stuff, not with the stuff that's going to, not fluffy stuff, not full of a bunch of the world's wisdom. That's the wood, hay, and straw. Just the world's wisdom. Kind of like the world's pep talks. But let God's word lead the way. Build with the right material, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Pastors, think of what this would be for a pastor. Well, you can build trying your level best to get through to people, hoping that they'll like you enough to listen. What kind of material is that? That's kind of the wood, hay, and straw. That's wood, hay, and stubble. But when you preach and ask God to get a hold of the minds of people, even for just a moment in the midst of it all, he says that's where the rewards come. One final word. Paul says this, and you know, we talked about these divisions. The divisions that were being created in that church, as people focused on the personalities, almost in a cult-like way. Truly, that's what it was. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, I'm of John, I'm of James, I'm of who? No. He says you don't mess with God's church that way. And he amplifies this all the more in verses 16 and 17 that Jasmine read earlier. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. There's a lot that could be driven home to all of us. But the point is, you don't mess with God's temple. I'm looking at a room full of temples. And even in the text that Jasmine read today, she read about temples and being individuals, and she read about temples being churches. You, believers, there as a group in Corinth, you are God's temple. The Spirit of God lives in you. Don't mess with the temple by your divisions, by the divisions that you express in complaining and in careless words spoken to some people about people, or careless words spoken to break the spirit of the person that you're talking to. Be careful how you build. And don't mess with God's church. We started this series and this great reset, or this welcome reset. As people come back to church, let's treat this with the utmost respect. And let's engage and be on his assignment when we're together and when we scatter. All to God's glory. Would you stand with me, please? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we're on assignment. The fact that we are a church, Lord, I pray that for all of us, that we would understand that this business of being a church is an assignment that you've given to us. It's not just a place we go to. It's not just bumping shoulders with the people that we like to see from week to week. Thank you, Lord, that this is an assignment and that you've gifted each person here to have an eternal impact on others, to be used by you for your glory, to touch other lives. And I pray, Lord, we take it seriously and joyfully, thankfully. And we thank you, Father, that you are in our midst. We thank you. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.